All right. I am so thrilled to have the Brammers with us. We've already had a wonderful time with them, both yesterday at the tea and already in Sunday school. So glad for your presence with us. I wish more of our people were here, but I'm glad that you're here. And we're going to benefit again from our brother's ministry to us. Just a bit of trivia. All of us know the Weimer family. Brother Art and David Weimer were classmates together in Faith Baptist Bible College at exactly the same time. And so God, it's always a treat for me to think about that, how God took these two men and did such remarkable things with both of them. But we're happy to have them with us. But Brother, how long has it been since you've been here? 10 years at least, no?
9 years,
yeah. Well, yeah, seems like a long time actually, but we're so glad you're back. So glad God's still using the both of you, Deb with her book ministry and our brother with his pastoral efforts there in New Zealand, formerly Taiwan, now New Zealand, two totally different cultures. And don't you get the opinion that that this brother and his good wife are just the people to meet that that need? And wow, just amazing how God works. And we're so glad to be a partner with the Brammers for as long as God sees necessary to allow that relationship to happen. Brother, thank you for coming. And I'll say it again, it gives me a great thrill to introduce Art Brammer.
Thank you, Art. I appreciate that.
And we have fun with that. That's good. We do thank this church for your support. You've been supporting us for 32, 33 years, something like that, and we are so grateful. We knew Johnny Kane. He was out at Faith where we went to Bible college. And so when he was here pastoring, that's when we came by and spoke, and your church here took us on for support then. And Dave Weimer was a good friend. Yeah, we're thankful for what he was able to do over in Paulsbo, get that church going. Got your Bibles, right? Where are you going to turn to? Let's go to Matthew 10. I didn't know if some of our Sunday school teachers might, Sunday school students might remember. I said we're going to talk to Matthew 10 this morning, but they all forgot already. That's okay. Matthew 10. In Matthew 10, we have the record of our Lord Jesus sending out his disciples two by two. This is their first instance of being sent out. Later on, he sent out 70, not just these 12, but many others of his disciples two by two to preach the gospel. In this chapter, there are a number of instructions that he gives to them specific to this time when you go out. This is what I want you to do. Then you come on to some things that he talks about. And I think he's talking about later on when he's gone, these are the things to be concerned about and watch out for. And I think there's even a little bit in here about the tribulation time, but that may be a theological thing there. But anyway, there's instructions for going out and preaching the gospel that he gives them at this time right here. Many things that he mentions here are for the disciples only, but some of the things are for us as well, and we'll talk about that by the time we come to the end of the message this morning. But I want to begin reading in verse 34. He's given them some instructions, some earlier instructions to begin with, but beginning in verse 34 up to verse 39, and our text this morning is verse 39, the one verse, verse 39, but leading up to that, he says in verse 34, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." And three times he says, if this isn't true of you, you're not worthy of me. But then he goes on in verse 39, our text, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." So first of all this morning, I want to talk about finding and losing your life as Jesus meant it for these disciples, what he was instructing them concerning this specific text. We'll move on beyond that a little bit later on. He who finds his life. As I think about that, what Jesus is intending to say is he that is seeking his own way in life in neglect or rebellion of God's ways. He that findeth his life. The one who is looking for his own way in life, either in neglect or rebellion of God's ways. If you do that, he says, you're going to lose your life. Now, let me emphasize it this way. He that finds his life, and I say it that way because I want to remind you of an Old Testament text. You're probably familiar with it. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. The natural bent of every one of us is to go our own direction, to follow our desires in life, to seek these things that make us happy. Everyone has that same desire to seek his own way in life. Jesus says, he that findeth his life, he that is looking for his own way in life, he's going to lose it. Jesus had a lot of people coming to hear him speak. Some of them were merely curious. They heard things about the Lord Jesus, wanted to find out more whether these things were true. Is he really healing people? Is he really a great speaker? They were merely curious to know who this Jesus guy was. But others of them were serious, and this was aimed at those people. Are you really serious about following me? Are you really serious to follow these things that I have? So each of these disciples that were listening to him had that choice to make. Am I going to be following my way in life? Or will I do what he wants me to do? I have that choice to make. You know the story of the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus asking, what do I have to do to get eternal life? Jesus said, well, you need to give all of these things away and come and follow me. And he wouldn't do it. He went away sorrowful because he was not willing to do what Jesus asked him to do. So these disciples are up to that point of making that choice. So they had to answer this question. Am I looking for my way in life? Or am I looking for his way? Now I don't know if the people of that day heard some of the things that we often say today, like, take care of number one. You got to watch out for yourself. If you don't take care of yourself, nobody else is going to take care of you. I don't know if they were doing that back in that day, but that's what we hear today. Take care of number one. But that's not the things that Jesus taught them. He taught them, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Beyond that, he says, I'll take care of all those things, what you need to drink, what you need to wear, what you need to eat. I'll take care of those things. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all those things will be added to you. We have a priority, and that's to seek his will, his way. He that findeth his life, he's that one that is seeking for his own way in life, he's going to lose it. On the other hand, he that loses his life for my sake, that means giving up your desires to follow in God's way. He that loseth his life, giving up your desires to follow in the pathway that you understand. This is how God wants me to walk. This is the way God is leading me. And it may not be a way that you're fully comfortable with. You may not understand fully where it will lead to. But if God is leading you to walk in this way, that's what he wants you to do. Lose your life to find it in him. And Jesus, for these disciples, he wasn't asking them, I want you to spend 24 hours a day praying or singing worship songs or reading the Bible or those kind of, okay, not those churchy things. It wasn't just doing those kinds of things. But you're just giving up your will in life, to follow the things that I would have for you to do with your life. Voluntarily giving up the rights to their life. They understood that God had the right to take away what they were aiming at. Take away their life, their family, their job, their health, anything. That God could take it all away if he wants. It's his will to do whatever he wants with. Losing your life, giving it up. That's what Jesus was asking these disciples to do in that time. So that their main concerns would no longer be the physical, the material, but the spiritual. His kingdom, his righteousness. Pursuing those things that God would have them to do. For the Apostle Paul, he expressed it like this: for to me to live is Christ, and I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. I'm not pursuing the things that I would have pursued in life. I'm pursuing the things that God wants me to pursue. And led him to all sorts of different places to accomplish various things. God leading him. God using him. He gave up his life. He lost his life to find it in Christ. So these disciples would lose their former lives. Think about that. They would lose their former lives, the rights to their life, and find the life that God wanted them and prepared them for, created them for. And we look back at these disciples and we recognize what they were formerly. Some of them we know, fishermen, and Matthew was a tax collector. We know what some of them were in the former life, but we know them to be the ones that followed Christ and became his apostles, his ambassadors, spread throughout the world, taking the gospel all over the place. That's what God prepared them for. They were brought up as fishermen and tax collectors and whatever else, but God had something better for them. He created them to do this, not that. But they had to come to this point to say, okay, I'll give it up. I'll give it up. I'll give up my life, the things that I envision for my life. I want to accomplish your will, do what you would have me to accomplish, the things that you have prepared for me. And our Bibles tell us that these disciples forsook all and followed him. Forsook all. That's the phrase we're looking at. Losing your life. And in forsaking that, they were forsaking what they felt would be the comfortable life. Okay, I mean, think about this. Okay, Peter, James, Andrew, and John, they grew up being fishermen, right? Okay, these are the fisher guys. And they knew fishing. They were comfortable with that. Their parents, at least Zebedee, he was a fisherman. So they knew they could do that. They knew they could do that. And they were ready to do that. They were skilled to do that. But he said, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. I have something different. Not that, this. Because this is what I've prepared you for. And they couldn't understand it. They had to be prepared for some of that, obviously. But that's what God prepared them for from birth, shaping their lives to be this, not that. And they had to be willing to say, oh, I know I can do fishing. I'd like to do fishing. And later on, they do go fishing. Remember John 21? They go fishing. They like fishing and all that. But this is what God prepared them for. That's what God created them for. That's what God wanted them to do. But they had to make that choice, giving up this for, well, they wouldn't know what it would be all entirely. No sure income. No sure place to live. Out with Jesus on the road, confronting people, confronting the Jewish leader. Okay, from this chapter, they knew there would be some of that. This is what I have for you. Are you willing to follow me? Our text says, he that findeth his life, the one who is pursuing his own way in life, wanting these things because I like these things. I know I can do these things. He who seeks his own life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake, he's going to find it. That's where God directs us into the path that he has created for us. That's where we can accomplish the most for his glory, in his pathway. So rather than making their own way in life, God was directing their pathway and using them for his glory. That's the choice they had to make. Finding and losing your life in that day, in that time, what these disciples had to do. I want to just change our focus here now for a moment, talk a little bit about our ministry in New Zealand. I hope you'll all come back this evening, because we'll talk a lot more about that, and hopefully we'll have the video thing worked out so we can show you some pictures of that. But anyway, finding and losing your life in Invercargill, New Zealand, where we live. I want to take this and just loosely apply this concept of giving up some things or what you might gain a little bit later on. Okay, so think about this. We have a lot of internationals in our ministry there in New Zealand. And as Pastor Art said, we ministered in Taiwan for 16 years before going down to New Zealand. And we believe that God used that time in preparing us for where we are right now, because we have a lot of international people coming. They have left their lives where they used to be, whether it's the Philippines or Korea or wherever. Okay, so they've left their lives there, losing their life. Okay, what is comfortable, what they know they can live with for a life that is kind of unknown, to come to New Zealand to start a new life. It's giving up one kind of life that they're comfortable, familiar with, for a life that they don't know how it's going to work out. And for some of them who come to New Zealand, it hasn't worked out. When we first went to Invercargill back 25 years ago, walking down the street, you'd mostly see white people. It's Scottish background and all of that. But it was pretty much that way. But now you walk down the street, you see a whole rainbow of people that are there. Rainbow in the color sense, not the gender sense or whatever. But anyway, there's that too. But anyway, so we have all sorts of people that are there from all over the world. Back in about 2000, well, must be about 2014 or something like that, there's a Southern Institute of Technology. It's a local polytechnic there in town. They began actively recruiting students from all over the world. It was a money thing for them. You know, bring them in here, we'll educate them, we'll get the money from them. But promising them, or putting before them, the potential that when you come here and you learn English and you settle into you get the educational qualifications that you need to have a job here in New Zealand, that you can gain citizenship here and live here and all that. Now, New Zealand is a very desirable place to live for around the world. How many of you have ever wished you could go to New Zealand to visit at least? Okay. Yeah, quite a few. Okay. There's a lot of good pictures out there, and if you watch Lord of the Rings and Chronicles of Narnia, some of those things are pictured. You know, they're filmed there in New Zealand. It's a beautiful place to live, and they advertise that 100% pure motto that they have for New Zealand. This is a place to come and live, and nice place to live. So a lot of people around the world really wanted to come to New Zealand to live, and so Southern Institute of Technology, they advertise, why don't you come here? We'll teach you English if you don't know it. We'll give you the educational qualifications to get jobs here and become residents. So we've had people coming to our church from Southern Institute of Technology, and we've had them come from Vietnam and China and Indonesia and lots of different places like that. So we also have other people coming to New Zealand just not through Southern Institute of Technology, just to come and live. We have a lot of Filipinos who work on the dairy farm. And some of those who have come, usually the guy comes first and his family comes a little bit later after he has established himself, and they don't know the language very much, and it takes a while to learn it. So again, I just want you to see this fact that they're giving up their lives here, it was comfortable, what they know they can do, to come over here and find a new life. As I said, this is kind of loosely applied to the text that we have here. Our priority is, as they come into our sphere, coming to our church, whether as students at SIT or coming immigrating to New Zealand from Ukraine, Brazil, Korea, a few other places like that. Okay, we want to teach them Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Whether they get a job later on in their job to make Christ a priority, in their living and make Christ a priority, just to know Jesus Christ, Him crucified, and to help them in that aspect. So they're giving up one life and gaining another life. I want to talk about just a little bit about finding and losing during COVID. I don't know how COVID affected this church, but we've talked to various places around the states where we've been ministering, and it affects them differently. But just for us, we couldn't meet for 7 weeks. After that, we could meet for up to 10 people in our church, which wasn't very many. But what we did at that point was we had all the old people come. We had about 10 people that were old people, so had them come for 2 weeks. And then beyond that, if we met segregated, you know, 2 meters apart or something like that, we could meet. And so we did that. Then there was a time where we could meet. If you had a vaccination, you had to have a vaccination pass to meet. So we had that. morning service vaccination pass, evening service non-vaccination pass, and we could have as many as you want in the non-vaccination pass. No, we did things like that. Just to, most of the people in our church had a vaccination, just to let you know that. They chose to have the vaccination, and a number of them worked in the healthcare industry, and they didn't, they wanted to be healthy to be able to help other people get through all of this. So anyway, so there was that dynamic that we had in our church service. COVID has affected a lot of things around the world in a really bad way, but I want you to know there's a good, positive thing from COVID happened in our church, okay? And that's the fact that in 2017, the government began saying, we know we have people coming from all over the world to come here and live and work and all that, and we'll allow them to work here for 5 years, and then we're going to kick them out. And so some of the Filipinos that had come at that time to work in the dairy industry, they said, oh, just 5 years. We thought we might come here and eventually gain residency and all that. And so some of them were thinking, well, we won't be able to do that. But because COVID came along, it kept some people out. But it also kept some people in. And they could have left if they wanted to, but these were guys working on the dairy farms, and the farmers really needed them to stay, and so they stayed. And so at the end of COVID, our government said, well, we're going to allow these that have stayed during this time a special route to residency. And so a number of people in our church, in the past year, seven of our church families have gained residency. And they might have not have been allowed that before COVID. So it's an amazing thing. There's a good thing from COVID, so remember that with all the... This is the silver lining of that big black cloud that's COVID out there, okay? Remember that. Another aspect of gaining and losing, and that's members. Every church goes through the ups and downs of people coming and people going, and sometimes it's sad to see people go. We recognize with those coming, specifically with the SIT, Southern Institute of Technology, coming to our church... They come to our church for a while, we will probably lose them. And that is because they're coming down here for the education. But the better job opportunities are in Christchurch or Wellington or Auckland, the big cities that are up there. And so we've had a number come through. We minister to them for a while, and now they're gone in other places and they're ministering. But again, we are thankful to have the opportunity to have a part in their lives spiritually while they come to us. One of those men was Shane, a Chinese man that we led to the Lord. Never been in a church before he came to our church. A friend brought him from SIT, and he sat in there. And the fact that we knew Chinese was a draw to him because I could show him the Chinese characters just like this and all that. So it was a draw to him. But we established a friendship with him, led him to the Lord, baptized him, and shortly after that, he went off to Wellington to find a new job up there. But his eternity is changed because of Jesus Christ. We're thankful that even though we have lost him, in a sense, that we gained him to begin with. And he's a brother forever, a brother that we will see in eternity. And there's others like them, like Shane. But we've been encouraged in the last 2 years to see God working both in our youth group and in our Discovery Club. But you're going to have to come back tonight to hear a little bit more about that, okay? So be back tonight. All right, we'll talk more about that. Anyway, okay, so finding and losing your life as the disciples heard it and what God wanted for them. That's the first part I talked about. Gaining and losing, finding and losing, loosely, really, really loosely applied to our ministry there in New Zealand. But finally, finding and losing your life today. Right here in Bremerton, or Silverdale, or wherever you might live around here. Finding and losing your life. As I mentioned earlier, some of these things were specific to these disciples going out at that time. This was 2,000 years ago. But there's a lot of things in this chapter that God meant for us today. And this text that we're looking at this morning, God means that for us today. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake, Jesus said, shall find it. Finding your life. God's will for every believer is that he loses his life to find it in Christ and to follow Christ. To lose your life means giving up the rights to your life. It means that no longer am I going to be aiming at what I think I want, these things that will make me happy, think I can do, to the things that God is leading me toward. And it may be that God gives you just a sense of, well, I thought I want this, but maybe God is directing me somewhere else to maybe change your pathway along as you're going toward what you're aiming at, to say, am I really willing to give all this up to follow what I believe now God wants me to be pursuing? It means that you are a slave to the will and the ways of God. I want you to think about that, a slave to the will and the ways of God. I want to illustrate it in this way. 2,000 years ago, they had households that had masters and slaves, and you recognize that as you read the Bible. Well, we'll be a household this morning, and this art, not that art, this art is now the master, and I get to choose what people get to do around here, right? In a household, the master chooses what various ones are going to be doing. And I need somebody to be the one who cleans the toilets. Lou, you're going to be the one that cleans all the toilets and all that. That's because I choose you to do that. I need somebody to answer the door and put them in a nice suit or whatever. And Doris, how about you? You want to be my butler? And I need somebody to wash the... Okay, and the master chooses what each one does. What I want you to think about is your life as it is right now, if you're following God, is how God has arranged it. How you are right now, health issues, financial issues, social issues, your life is as God has arranged it. He's put you in this place right here to do His work, to accomplish His will. That's what He wants for you. And all He wants for you is in your situation where you are, whatever it is, to be fully Christian. Now what I mean by that is He's given us this instruction manual, and He wants us to do the things He tells us to do. And there's a lot of things He tells us to do in here. And we have to know these things. We have to study these things. He wants us to do His work, His will, to bring Him glory. And He has put you in your situation as it is, again, with whatever health issues and financial issues, whatever other issues are in your life. He's arranged your life as it is right now for you to magnify Christ in your life. And sometimes, as hard as it may be with the difficulties that you have, it may just simply be rejoicing in the Lord, accepting with contentment the lot that He has put before you so people can see. And others can say, how can you be content with that? How can you be joyful in this situation? How can you accept this? Well, it's because what God has given me. I'll be content with what God has given me. And I don't have to pursue all those other things. Do you know you don't need more money to be more effective for Christ? You don't need better health to be more effective for Christ. Remember Paul's thorn in the flesh? You don't need better health to be more effective for Christ. You just need to be obedient. Do what He tells you to do in this situation as you are, and God will use you for His glory. He's the master. He chose you to be His child. He wants to use you. He is saying, I put you in this situation. This is what I arranged for you, that in this situation, you might glorify me. Do what I want to do, what I want you to do in that situation. That is finding your life in Christ. It's losing your life, the things that you want in life, but finding it for him. If, on the other hand, you're pursuing what you want, the pathway that you would choose for yourself, he says here, he that findeth his life, he's the one that's finding his own way, he's going to lose it. You're not going to be able to achieve all of that. Well, actually, I thought about this. There's a verse in Psalm 106, verse 15, and it's talking about the Jews going through the wilderness, those 40 years of wandering, and they wanted the leeks and the onions and all those good food down there from Egypt. And so they asked for it. And it says there in that verse, Psalm 106, 15, he gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. They got what they wanted, but it didn't satisfy. It really wasn't what they wanted. They didn't find the satisfaction from that they wanted. They thought they'd get it in that, but it wasn't there. He that findeth his life, if you're pursuing these things, you might actually get it, but it's not going to be satisfying. It's not going to be satisfying. You'll lose it. I've attended several funerals there in New Zealand of unbelievers, husbands or whatever, of people that we knew. And there's a song that I've heard several times. I'm not going to sing it how they do, but you'll catch on. I did it my way. You've heard that song, right? Yeah. Yeah, there are those that did it their way. And they're the eternal losers. God doesn't want us to do it our way. These disciples were given this choice. He that findeth his life is going to lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake, that's the key there. For his sake. Listening to his spirit. Accomplishing his will, giving up what you might have to give up, the comfortable, what you know, being willing to set that aside to do it his way, not my way, his way. The Bible tells us that the rich man will fade away in his pursuits, James chapter 1 and verse 11. Those that are pursuing their own things in life, they're going to fade away like the flowers. Going to be gone. It's not going to last. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Finding and losing. Every one of us is doing that every day. Finding a life, either where are we looking to find our life? In Christ or in the things of this world? Pursuing the things that we want to from this world because they're dangled before us all the time. Where are we seeking to find it? And what are we willing to lose to find our lives in Christ? What are you willing to lose? A good life down here, eternal life up there. If our pursuits are always focused on this world right now, what I can see, it's all going to burn up. 2 Peter chapter 3 says the elements, everything in it's going to burn up at the end of the time. So we will lose it. We may have it for a while, but it's all going to be gone. All going to be gone. We've lost all of those things. But when we give up the rights to our life, to pursue the things that God wants for us, we find life. The life that God created us for. The life that he intends for us. The life that can best bring him glory. It's abundant life. It's eternal life. Spiritual life. Many of you are familiar with Jim Elliot. He and his four friends that went down and gave their lives and sacrificed to bring the gospel to the Waudani or the Aqua Indians there. And he said this, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He may have been meditating on this verse here when he wrote that. I don't know. He is no fool to give what he cannot keep. Put it behind you. Give it up. To gain what he cannot lose. And Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, these other guys, they made a great sacrifice to bring the gospel to those people. That was a great sacrifice, but it was a greater sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross. He left the glories of heaven willing to come and endure that because we're sinners. And only in that way can we be reconciled to God. Now, I know some of you, I've known some of you for quite some time. Jim, maybe, I remember him more than maybe anybody else, but anyway. Some of you I'd never met before coming here this weekend. I don't know where you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never confessed your sins and trusting in his death on the cross for you, this morning I encourage you. That's the first choice to make. That's the eternal choice to make. It's the one that makes you right with God and a part of his family. And then you can begin to see Scripture rightly and understand it rightly and understand what God would have you to do individually, as well as corporately with all the other believers that are there. The will of God. There is both a, what I call it, a subjective and an objective will of God. The objective will of God, that's true for every believer. Thou shalt not, all those things. Okay, don't kill, don't murder. Okay, that's the objective will of God. Every believer ought to do that. But then there's the subjective will of God. And that's where we have to be open to how God is leading us individually. God led my wife and I to Taiwan. He didn't lead Pastor Art, that Art there. He led this Pastor Art there. He leads us individually. That's the subjective will of God. For each individual, it's different. And we have to be open and listen to what God is saying to us. And I want you right now to be listening to that Holy Spirit. Is he telling you something this morning? Have you given up the rights of your life to Jesus Christ? He said at one point, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say?" You would say, "Jesus is my Lord," right? You would say that. All good Christians say that. But is he? Is he your Lord? Have you given your life a living sacrifice, as Romans 12 talks about? If you haven't, maybe that's the choice you need to make right now. Even if you're an older person and have not done that, God wants that from every believer, to sacrifice yourself on the altar of his will to accomplish his purposes. Why don't you all just bow your heads? Is it right with you and God? Are you doing the things that God would have you do? Is the Holy Spirit nudging you this morning? Saying, "You know, I haven't done that. I need to do that." I'm not looking for raised hands. This is something between you and God. But if he is nudging you right now about something you need to do, God, the eternal God of the universe, is talking to you. Don't take that lightly. Don't put it off. He wants you to respond, to surrender your will. Excuse me, surrender your will to his will. Father, I pray that even right now, that your Spirit would be working in hearts. I don't know them, Father. You do. But as you nudge them this morning, as you impress upon them what you would have them to do, may they respond. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.